Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 16, Episode 13, titled Drag Race Vegas Live Makeovers. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by our very own Las Vegas Strip. First, not first, the only person here, from Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo, please say...
I beat her a lot.
Oh, you beat her a lot. Okay.
To Nathan Patrick Brown. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, doing pretty good.
You know, I spoke to another Aussie yesterday, and I was doing my great Australian accent. He was fooled. Totally thought he was talking to another Aussie. Yeah. And I'm like, no, mate, that's not an accent. This is an accent.
Great.
Do people in Australia get that reference? Is Crocodile Dundee a big movie there?
Yeah, surprisingly, we have movies and televisions.
No. Hold on for a second. But is it one of these things where, like, it's a big movie here, but it wasn't, it's not that big of a deal in Australia?
We're not quoting it, but we understand the quote.
Because a bunch of Americans fucking go there and they're like, you know, put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Well, that's the one that really shits us off because we don't say shrimp.
Yeah, and then the other one, too, is for a while, this would be older people, they would say, like, Foster's. It's Australian for beer, right?
Gross.
And all Australians are like, Foster's is fucking disgusting. But that's the only thing we saw here.
Yeah, I think, like, Foster's sell more units of alcohol in England than in all of Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a beer for the tourists.
And then, what do you guys make the Bloomin' Onion on special occasions? Or,
never.
Or when?
Never. The only thing that's blooming is my butt.
By the way, guys, I was so angry. In between Just Between Us Girls, which we'll talk about in a second, in between Just Between Us Girls in this show, Nathan goes, oh, I have to get up and get something, but I have to turn my camera off because I don't have any pants on. And I was like, I want to see you pantsless. Is that sexual harassment to say I want to see you pantsless, Nathan?
I think it depends on intent and delivery. So, yes.
Oh, so you think it's yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Just speaking, we were talking about Just Between Us Girls. It might be one of, if not the longest, Just Between Us Girls this season.
And the best one yet.
Yeah. Nathan had three stories. There's an appearance by Lori. There's an appearance by AI Lori also makes an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
A ton of content on Just Between Us Girls. And you can get that at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. And by the way, when I promise something, I deliver. If you are like, what is this Just Between Us Girls? What is this executive tier? What is this exclusive tier? Both tiers right now, and I don't know if this works for Patreon, current Patreon supporters, but if you want to try it out, you can try it out 7 days for free, risk-free. And you can hear what we're talking about in Just Between Us Girls. Go there right now to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Try a 7-day free trial of either the executive tier or the expensive tier. Check it out. See, I promise you, the content is pretty fucking good. This week, the girls play Drag Race Monopoly before making over Drag Race live dancers into their sick, mean drag sisters. On the main stage, Plain was named the winner of the challenge, while Morphine and Safira were placed in the bottom two after a lip-sync battle for their lives. Safira was told, Shantae, you stay, while Morphine was asked to sashay away. Nathan Patrick Brown, what did you think of the lip-sync, and did the right queen go home? I feel we're going to be talking a lot here about this lip sync.
Well, I thought the lip sync was okay. For me, it's... Well, I watched this episode of Drag Race straight after Drag Race UK versus the World finale, season 2. Mm-hmm. And sure. I loved the lip syncs in that finale. I thought they were just so fun. And so, watching this one afterwards, I was like, oh, it's mm-hmm. a bit lackluster in comparison. Mm-hmm. If I had to say, like, who won that lip sync? Like, I don't know. I sort of went into it knowing Morphine was going. So, mm-hmm. and I'm upset about that. I do think, like, I want Safira to stay. I wanted Morphine to stay. I think we know who I wanted to leave. And that would have been Q. Because I really have grown to love this Morphine. I think she's great. And, you know, like, you don't have to win Drag Race to win Drag Race, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. If these queens are touring Australia, like, I'll go see Morphine. I'm not going to go and see some of the others. So Morphine wins in my book.
You wouldn't go see Hershey Liqueur Jeté?
No. No, absolutely not.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to give away too much. I'm not going to give, like, I'm going to talk about the lip sync, but I'm not going to give away who I thought should have been at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
This lip sync and this outcome made me so angry.
Really?
That it affected my life.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It made me so angry that it affected my life. Now, I haven't spoken about this on the public feed. I've spoken about it on some Patreon shows. But you know, I was talking again to my ex.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier yesterday, we had kind of a, I wouldn't say contentious phone call. We had a very difficult phone call, I'll say.
Okay.
I was so angry about this lip sync. And then I was like, well, I'm going to fucking do shit in my office. And I'm still trying to organize my office here after the move 4 months ago. And I was working on stuff and I was listening to music.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of this song. I Will Survive came on.
I've heard of it. Yep.
And the lyrics really resonated with me. And I was like, fuck this guy. And I fired off some mean ass. By the way, I'm going to tell you something.
You did a cue.
I did a cue. Yeah. I set some fucking boundaries. I was just like, you know what? I'm a treasure. I'm a catch. I'm a get. Don't give me this shit. I'm not going to talk about it here. Don't do this shit. And then he got mad and he blocked me.
Oh, no, not a block.
I've been blocked. Blocked, Nathan.
Not a soul king block.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a soul. Yeah. A soul did block. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yeah. Namaste. He's going to stay right there in Seattle. That's what, guys, when you hear Just Between Us Girls, that's going to be such a funny story. Anyway, yeah, you're going to laugh your ass off at that story. Anyway, yeah, so, but I was that episode put me in such a bad mood.
Oh, negative headspace. I get it.
Yeah, negative headspace. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. Some things are subjective and some things are objective. And I'm going to tell you right now, Morphine, objectively, mama, won that lip sync.
You reckon?
Morphine won that lip sync. And you can make, here's the deal. You can do arguments about rubrics and RuPaul and it's her world and we live in it. And
Oh my God. When you said rubrics, I was like, is Ru coming out with Lego now or something? Yeah. Like, we've got Monopoly, now we got rubrics.
I should have never said that. I know. She probably heard, here's that. We have RuPaul Legos now. So I remember when this Maya sent home plasma.
Oh yeah.
All the Maya stands were like, it's a lip sync for your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lip sync for your life. And even though she should have gone home on any given, you know, Friday, the person who does the best lip sync can send home the most powerful person ever.
Yeah, I think I said that.
And then this one, because Morphine with her four, you know, lip syncs and her being in the bottom 2 weeks in a row and Safira has four wins. She should. I mean, if that is really the case. Safira should have gone home. Safira should have gone home.
Well, yes.
If all things being equal.
But it wasn't a demolition. Like, I don't think Morphine was so much better than Safira. I feel like it was a bit more equal, at least how they've presented it. So I don't feel that outrage. Whereas with Maya versus Plasma, like, it was just so cut and dry. There was no wiggle room.
I think this is pretty cut and dry. Not that cut and dry, but it's pretty cut and dry in my book. But I'm going to tell you something. On this, I was still angry. When I was watching it again the second time, I was still angry. Nathan, I was still angry. But something occurred to me while watching it.
What?
They did Morphine a big fucking favor.
Why? How?
Because not next week, but the week after, they're doing a lip sync Lollapalooza for the reunion. And all the former contestants are coming. And there's a $50,000 prize for the winner.
Oh, fun.
So I'm like, oh, wait. If she went to the top four, look, there is some esteem with that, right?
Yeah.
But she wasn't going to fucking win. It's going to be either Saphira or Plain Jane. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Right? Saphira or Plain Jane. And honestly, odds are on Saphira that she's going to win the whole fucking thing. So by sending her home, they did her a favor. Because now she has, I'm not saying she's going to win, because mm-hmm. she might go up against Maya and this is a, you know, chance for revenge. But one of those bitches is going to win $50,000. So they could have been, we're doing you a favor. It may hurt, but you weren't going to win anyway, mama. But now you can win $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
I see that. I just think that should not have been the bottom two, in my opinion.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that, though. I agree with you, and we will talk about that when we get there. But for now, here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about the rest of the episode.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest, because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this, so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way. Big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire, and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. And we're back. During the break, Nathan quit because he thought he could come back for $50,000. And he was wrong. After Dawn's elimination, the girls congratulate Morphine on her third lip sync win before giving Plain and Saphira their flowers for snatching the win. The girls talk about their proximity to the top four and their hopes to make it to the finale. The next day, the queens enter the workroom and play a quick round of Drag Race Monopoly. Wouldn't it be funny if they played the whole fucking game? Like, they had like Rue standing by the door waiting for the whole, like, the 3 hours it takes to do Monopoly.
Waiting next, for someone to get bankrupt.
Yeah, waiting. Oh my God, will somebody finally get to Park Place and Boardwalk and just end this thing? Next, Rue enters the workroom. And by the way, Monopoly nerds, I know those aren't in. You know that those are technically not the best. I mean, they are most expensive. But there's like that one opposite corner by free parking.
The red one.
Yeah. If you get that, because it's cheaper to build houses. But people, I think statistically, people land there most. And so if you can get that corner, you're just going to fucking clean house.
Because you're more often than not like landing on Go, because you're getting directed to Go and to enter jail. And so that puts you on the directory to get to those spaces. I love Monopoly. I kind of want the RuPaul's Drag Race Monopoly.
I saw that. And I was thinking the Afterthought co-host, we should play it.
I'd love. Okay.
Next, Rue enters the workroom. I start talking Monopoly. Next, Rue enters the workroom and introduces the queens to the dancers from RuPaul's Drag Race Live. For this week's Maxi Challenge, the queens need to make over their dancer into a gorgeous drag queen and perform a dance routine on the main stage. Nathan Patrick Brown, let's talk about all notes you have for the post-elimination little teaser we had at the beginning.
Yeah, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty where nothing's really happening. They're just all saying, like, I want to get in the top four. And when Morphine says, if I have to lip-sync my way to the top four, I'm going to lip-sync my way to the top four. And I thought, she's doomed. Everyone who said that has just, like, immediately gone home.
There were
like,
a bunch of hands in this episode, and that was one of them. Yeah, you're right. I only really had one note, and it was that Plane's like, and I had my moment of vulnerability last week, and now I'm a new person. I'm like, it's been 24 hours, and that was fake. Like, that wasn't real.
Yeah. Well, she's got to acknowledge that so that the editors leave it in, you know? She's got to really signpost it.
I think this guy might listen to the show or not. I don't know. When he listens to the show or not, I don't know. But somebody I know, his father passed away. And it's not Christian, okay? Because Christian's father died the same way. His father passed away suddenly. Like, suddenly. You know, yeah. Came back from a vacation, found his father dead.
Yikes.
And I talked to him right afterwards. He was rather emotionless about it. And I was like, oh, that's... But I was like, at the time, like, oh, it hasn't really hit him. It's so shocking. I've learned he just doesn't really show emotion like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Christian, by the way, your arch enemy. When he told me a story.
Oh, Christian Ochoa. When you said Christian, I was like, I don't know any Christian. Okay, yeah, him, yeah.
When Christian, on a podcast that was released on Patreon, he told me the story of his dad dying. I was literally weeping. And Christian was like literally like eating Takis. And he was like, yeah. And then I was like, what is this? It's so bizarre, this sort of reaction. So with this guy, so anyway, the reason I'm coming to this is he called me one day,
yeah.
This guy whose dad died suddenly, and he goes, last night, I cried about my dad dying. I'm done.
Oh, he got it out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. And he was fine the next day. Here's what's weird though, Nathan. I was thinking, oh, this is going to hit him later. No, it's never really hit him.
And this relates to Plain Jane?
Yeah. Because Plain Jane was like, you see, I was vulnerable. I'm done. I'm good. I'm back to being normal Plain Jane. And then I'm like, that's really how it works.
She sort of tries to bring it up again where she's like, you know, I dropped out of ballroom dancing. And it's like, fuck, bitch. Like, is that all you've got?
A lot of kids drop out of the things they were doing. A lot of kids drop out of piano.
Can't do hobbies forever.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Well, those are my only notes there. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. When you get to this stage, a lot of it is the conversation, the confessionals become aspirational. And there's not a lot of commentary. Like, we're like, oh, yeah, well, they really want to be in the top four.
Yeah.
Good for them, you know. In the workroom, the girls and their dancers decide on their concepts. Plain's dancer wants to be a hot slut. Morphine's dancer wants to show ass. Nymphia's dancer wants to date girls. And Saphira's dancer wants to beat Q's dancer. Next, the contestants host a walk-off among the dancers and are very impressed with their skills. Any thoughts on the workroom, Nathan? Anything that happened in the workroom?
Oh, just to go back to the Monopoly thing.
Yeah.
They weren't playing Monopoly. They just sat there and handed out some money and read a few cards and that was it.
Yeah.
And do you think it was a bit like producer shenanigans-y, how like the first card they read was, your triumphant streak in the main challenges is turning the other queens against you.
Yeah.
Like, that is eerie.
I'm telling you, they should have just played Monopoly. They should have been like, okay, I'm the little shoe, you're the thimble. Done it. By the way, you know what we also skipped over was the main challenge thing. And when they chose it, don't you think it's a little, I know how they could have done it as a magician, but it would take some work. Don't you think it's a little weird that Plain got the white guy?
I do not believe that was left to chance. I think those balls were just, yeah, they were holding the balls.
No, there's easier ways of doing it. But what I will tell you is, and by the way, for anyone who thinks it's like a race thing, I think it's more just, the girls have certain shades of makeup for their skin tone. And so it just, if anyone can remember season 6, the season that rhymes with this season, when, what was the one who did, what was her name again? The one from Boston?
Jocelyn Fox.
Jocelyn Fox. She got a black guy And she didn't have black. And they had sent home the last black drag queen, so there was no black makeup in the workroom. And so she had he looked awful because the makeup wasn't right for his skin tone. They're probably trying to avoid that again.
It felt to me like they were expecting Dawn to be in this top five. Because, like, that guy I thought was just... Like, they even call it out, being like, that's like Dawn. And they have the same backstory. I was like, I'm surprised.
Who was your favorite of the dancers?
Oh, my God. They were all so hot. I loved this episode just because of their presence. I think the straight one for me, like, I love a straighty. And I don't know how much I want to air out my kinks, but this was a big pit heavy episode. Did you notice?
Oh, yes, it was. You're
pits
right.
Pits aplenty. And yeah, they were also handsome. And Safira's one, was that the one with like the bone structure? Oh my God, what a handsome man.
You and I had the same favorites. My favorite was Safira's and Nymphia's. Nymphia's had the straight guy. Actually, I know their names. So let me see.
They were all perfect.
Safira's was named Mark.
Oh, love Mark.
And Nymphia's was named Jonathan.
Oh, Jonathan.
Mark and Jonathan were my favorites.
Uh-huh.
And yours too.
And I think, was there a Miguel? Morphine's also very attractive.
Well, first of all, there's never a Miguel. So just unless you're like in a Peter Sellers comedy. But there is a Miguel that was Morphine's.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So we had the same favorites, which that was very interesting. Now let's go to that workroom. Any thoughts on the workroom?
Well, nothing really happens. I just enjoyed it. Like, I was having a great time this episode, but there's no, like, moment where I was like, I have to talk about this with Joe. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no. I was paying laser-like attention to this episode because I was, like, in a weird kind of way, when a lot happens, I can pay less attention because I have my talking points. But I wasn't hitting really any talking points. And I was like, I need to look for something. There wasn't anything. But I will say, and you probably agree, once Morphine said that she had this challenge in the bag because of her makeup skills, I was like, bitch, pack your bags right now.
Well, and I think she did the makeup great. It was just like, it's more to this challenge than just makeup.
Yes. Yes. By the way, they've mentioned it several times. I think I've even Googled it, but do you know what a slew foot is? They keep mentioning this slew foot. I'm not even sure what it is.
Just when your feet turn out a little bit. Like, I think I'm a bit of a slew foot, to be quite honest. Like, when I walk out, it's a little bit duckish. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But it's something Rue has picked out for Safira and sort of tried to make it happen. So, Safira's like, well, I better run with it.
Yeah, it was smart of her. So, at a certain point, for people who don't watch the show, I'm assuming the rest of them are gay.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out that Nymphia's drag sister, her backup dancer she has to make over, we find out he's straight, Jonathan.
And married to an Australian.
Well, that's what we're going to get to. Yeah. So when Nymphia finds out he's straight, she like freaks out like in a way that you're like, straight people don't exist. Like they're an endangered species. She's like, freaks out. And then later she says, this is the part that's weird, what you're talking about. She goes, because she's trying to get a sense of how to make him up. She goes, well, what's your type? She says to Jonathan, what's your type? And he says, well, my wife's Australian. And then she freaks out again. And I was like, that's not a type.
I think she was just freaking out at the fact that he has a wife.
Oh.
It's like, oh, yeah, you're straight, sure. But like, oh, you got a wife? Like, oh, holy fuck. And yeah, he's straight, but he's a straight person performing with drag queens every night. Like, he's a straight pit crew person. Like, he's sucked a dick. He's a sister.
Let me tell you something. And actually, what I'm going to tell you, and I think I've told this story before, is about the straightest person I've ever met. This is going to be weird. The straightest person I ever met was the brother of a friend of mine is actually a professional dancer. And he's straight. I had a conversation with him, and he said, and I kind of said, like, it's kind of weird that you're straight. And he goes, I'm going to tell you something. He goes, when I was at dance school or whatever, because everybody was gay, he goes, I wanted to be gay. I wanted to be gay. He's like, my life would have been so much easier. So I messed around with some guys and I realized I'm not gay. He goes, I wanted to be gay. I want to be gay, but I'm just not gay. And I go, this is the straightest person that ever lived. So that said, I'm sure as a dancer, he's tried it out.
Oh, totally.
He's tried it out for sure.
Yeah. And Good for him. I think he was one of the best, like, they were all amazing, but I feel like he was one of the best, like, ones that just, like, really just rising to the challenge.
Yeah.
Like, he really embraced it, and good for him.
Later in the workroom, Nymphia leads a class in tucking before Rue enters the workroom to do the table visit. Saphira reveals that she has 11 drag daughters. Nymphia, a straight guy, fell in love with dance at cheer camp. Rue reminds Morphine of her streak in the bottom. Q and Sebastian hope to bring out new sides of each other. And Rue cackles at Plain, naming her sister Lazy Susan. Let's talk about these table visits, Nathan Patrick Brown. Any thoughts here?
The Lazy Susan thing, like... Rue's laugh makes me laugh. Like, I just really enjoy hearing Rue just have fun.
But the whole thing is, it wasn't that funny.
No.
She was already very giggly, though. She was already laughing at, like, Saphira. Everyone that came in, she was just laughing it up. She just wanted to just laugh.
She was having fun. And I feel like she was flirting with Mark. When she was commenting on his bone structure, I was like, is this bitch flirting?
Yeah, so she was already very laughing. You know what's so funny? There's a certain part, I think it was with Mark, actually, where he said he grew up in San Diego.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, what was that like growing up queer in San Diego? I'm like, bitch, why don't you ask yourself? Yeah. That's where you grew up.
Yeah.
It was...
I just finished her book as well, and there's a whole big chunk on San Diego.
I'm like, have you read your memoir, Rue? Because that's where you're from.
The hidden meanings are really hidden.
And you've read the book, so you would know, but I believe, though, she really spent her, like, adolescence in Atlanta and stuff like that. I think she moved to, like, at, like, 11 or 12, right?
Yeah, to Atlanta, yeah. But then her mom still lived in San Diego, so she would... Mm-hmm. She was in her brother-in-law, like, was a car dealer or something. So she would just drive cars back from San Diego to Atlanta. Oh. So she was spending a lot of time in San Diego, like, waiting for another car, and then she'd drive back.
Okay.
And on.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that part of the story. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's not much happening here. What'd you think of the tucking class? Because I was kind of gagged that the tape goes, well, Morphine does the tape around the dick as well. So I knew how Nymphia did it. I always thought that was the method. But then when she added the extra tape, I was like, ooh, record scratch.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because from a I knew a bigger picture of how it happened. So I knew about the tucking the balls up, and I knew about the penis coming up and wrapping up behind, and then there's tape. And I knew there was tape, but I really didn't know how the tape worked, if I'm being honest.
Yes.
I assumed there was, like, basically a tape belt, and then one piece of tape went from the stomach side through the taint up the ass to hold the dick in place. But the way she explained it was a little bit different from that.
Yeah, it seems like she's putting tape on the dick as well to sort of, like, make it, like, double-sided tape is the impression I was getting. Good for Morphine. Like, I love a thorough tuck.
But I'm almost wondering if this is specifically for if you have big balls. Because if you don't have big balls, why couldn't you just tape it, like, in a pouch altogether?
I don't know. Have you ever put your balls in that cavity?
No, have you? I've never even... It sounds disgusting to me. I never want you to try.
Yeah. When I was watching this episode, I was like, I should try it. But then I was like, I don't want to. Like, is this one of those experiences that I have to do to relate to the people on the TV screen? And I'm like, maybe not.
I would try it right now, but guys, people should know, for one of the first times in a long time, we have an audience, a live audience.
Do it. Try it.
No, but if it was just me and you, Nathan, I would try it. Unlike some people, I'm not afraid to show me pantsless on screen.
I don't know if we could do it right now. I don't know how I'd do it. I'd have to put a leg up or something. Like, I don't think you can do it sitting down.
Well, I could, because what I'm saying is, how would I not be? Well, maybe not.
We're going to have to try it next, just between us girls.
Yeah, when there's no audience.
Just between our legs.
Guys, I'll report to you what Nathan's penis is like.
I'll have my camera off.
Oh, boring. I was going to do some live reporting. It could be at the Hindenburg. I'm like, the humanity.
Yeah. Speaking of assault, so did you see that moment where Plain sort of fondles her guy's butt and she, like, really, like, gropes it?
No, I didn't pick up on this.
Yeah, he was like bending over in heels, and she's like, and I want you to really like feel the ass. And she like, she gets, Plan gets her hand and like runs it down that guy's butt cheek. And I was thinking, really? She's never beating like the allegations, Plan Jane. Like, she is a handsy woman.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah. It's so funny. But you know, these dancers though, there's a lot of shenanigans. Have you seen the video already of the white one, whatever his name is?
Yes.
Making out with Naomi Smalls. I guess that was an episode of that Drag Race live show.
Which I did watch. I kind of enjoyed it.
Okay. Do they interact a lot with the pit crew guys?
Yeah. It was, I think, it wasn't in COVID. It was before COVID, but it was sort of like, now we're going back to a room for drinks. And it's just that same group of people. Like, they've got no one else to loop into the scene. So, yeah.
And it's probably just for the show. Like, we're going to do this for the show. We don't really care. Of course. The queens hit the main stage and let their dancers lead the choreo. Q and Sebastian perfect their thriller arms. Morphine learns the salsa. Nymphia and Juanita channel sexy birds. And Safira realizes her dresses are too heavy and has to scrap her entire concept in the 11th hour. All right. Any thoughts on this main stage choreo?
Yeah, usually I think it's a bit lame when it's a makeover challenge and they're like, and you have to present a dance on the runway. And I'm always like, oh, it's pointless. It doesn't mean anything. But for this, I was like excited because they're actual dancers. So it makes sense. And you could see when they were doing the choreo segment, like all these dancers had great ideas. And I was like, well, I should listen to the dancers. I think Q doing Thriller is a huge fucking cop out, but we'll get to that. And the only other thought I had was Safira, I think, made a big mistake in changing costumes. I think she shouldn't have scrapped it because it was hard to dance in. She should have just done like little hand dances or something and put like shortchanged the dance in favor of the look, which is the main component.
Yeah.
What did you think of that whole, like her split decision to change?
Was that the actual outfit we were seeing?
Yeah, that big geode thing.
Yeah, but was it Inside Out or something? They didn't want us to see it. Like, there was something weird about what we saw on the stage.
I think she had like a protective like tarp layer on it because I think there might have been individual things that could have fallen off. Because when she did toss it, I saw one thing go like tumbling. So like little rock bits might have been falling off.
Yeah. Look, the final product was very ugly. I didn't notice how ugly it was until a second watch. On the first time, I'm like, it wasn't that bad. And I watched it a second time, like, oh my God. You know what I really noticed too was when they danced. For some reason, the runway was like, oh, okay, it's not so hot. And then they danced and you really saw how ugly it was when they were dancing.
That was Maya's entrance look with embellishments.
Yeah. Is that where she got the look from?
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's Maya's corset thing, but then she put like another skirt underneath it to make it look different. But like looking at it, I was like, that's Maya's entrance look. And why did Maya not pack it? Or did she have the same
look?
I don't know. But she should have stuck with the geode and just pussyfooted and fart-assed with the dancing.
All right. It's elimination day. The girls get ready for the runway. Nymphia and Juanita discuss the perils of self-doubt. Juanita, by the way, is her drag the sister person she's making over. Lazy Susan, who is playing Jane's makeover, reveals he was going to be a closet engineer before being hit by a car and gaining a new lease on life. And Q and Morphine sisters get a little shady. Any thoughts on Elimination Day, Nathan?
Yeah, not really. Again, enjoyed the episode, but not much to say. I think it was interesting how Q kept saying like, oh, I have got such an out-of-the-box concept. I'm really taking a risk. Oh, I'm really going out on a limb here. And I don't think she was. I think she was doing a cop out and just like hiding that man's body in like a pile of fabric and like just painting a bland white face on someone. I think she was skirting the actual challenge. And so she was trying to frame it like multiple times about how risky it was.
Yeah.
And like even in Untucked, she's like, I'm so glad the risk paid off. And it's like, I don't think it was risky at all.
She'll give herself credit whenever she can. I mean, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I had to say was, the show is really teaching us at this point in time that anyone out there doing an engineering degree needs to drop out and just pursue a career in the arts. Because every engineer we've been talking to, they're like, nah, I got an engineering degree. It's pointless.
So it's in this elimination day that Safira really talks about getting rid of her outfit.
Yeah.
Imagine you're the designer who designed this dress. And you're like, everyone, come over to my house. This is the episode where Safira is going to wear my dress that I designed.
Tosses it.
And then she just tosses it. spent hours working on it. And she puts on some, I can't do this. I'm going to do this ugly orange dress.
I know. And that must have been so I think she borrowed the bodysuit that her partner was wearing from Plane. And that looked really good. But whatever Safira put on her body, that Maya Amon LePage plus her own thing, plus she made gloves, like it just, it was, it looked like five different outfits stapled together. It didn't look nice.
Then there's a part where Nymphia starts crying. Now she is crying.
Yeah.
And people might get mad at me about this. Because I was even talking to this Jeremy and he was like, Nymphia's tears seemed real. So on the second watch, I was like, it was more fake the second time. I was like, this is so fake. Yeah, like she's like, I'm really like, what was her thing again that she doesn't fit in anywhere?
She's like, I'm so out of the box and unique, it's hard to fit in.
Yeah. And I was like, and I could see maybe the sentiment is real, but you're not crying over this.
Look, it was a bit of a backdoor brag.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, my penis is too big to fit inside people. I can't, like, okay.
Well, that's a real problem.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. By the way, there's a part where Q and her dancer are doing like this reading thing with Morphine and her dancer.
And that was fun. Like,
yeah, but imagine if someone really read Q. She would have fucking started like throwing shit across the room. It would have been like just like daggers everywhere. She can't handle shit. She even says at one point, my sister's in Kansas City. We just read each other. And I was like, bitch. Now let's go over to the looks.
Yeah.
Big thoughts on the looks here, Nathan.
Okay. So one of my favorite things with the makeover challenge is the names they give their drag daughters as well. I think that's a huge part of like showing off their creativity. And with Q, she names her partner Luna. I don't see the link there. I would have thought she would have named her another letter, like A, T, Z. Anything would have been better than Luna. Did you understand where that might have come from?
Maybe because of the, they painted their faces white, and so like it means moon. I've seen the Q&A joke on Reddit and Twitter. So it seems to be the joke du jour on Twitter right now.
It would have been great.
It would have been great. But this Q is not original. You think she's original? Look, she named herself Q. She named herself Q. She just gave up right there. Well, you think she's going to come up with a good name for somebody else? Thank you.
Yeah, and I didn't like this look. As I said, I think she was just like hiding the challenge. Mm-hmm. And she was doing too much but not enough at the same time. You know what I mean? And like in towards the end of the episode when her partner's like in Untucked and he sort of takes the top off and you just see this like big burly man with like his big old chest hair. And I was like, oh yeah, she did no transformation. She just hit him.
Yeah.
Which really annoyed me.
I'm going to tell you right now. Morphine. I thought Q should have been in the bottom. I thought the look was atrocious. I didn't like it.
Agreed.
It was horrible. And she should have been in the bottom. They would never put her in the bottom though. Cause Morphine would have, it would have even been more of a massacre.
But that would have been amazing TV for me personally. I would have really enjoyed that. Yeah, me too.
I would have been cheering.
Yeah.
It would have been like when died on Game of Thrones. Sorry, spoiler. I'm not even joking. I didn't know that was going to happen. And I remember when I saw it on the first time, I literally like jumped up and cheered.
It was a good feeling.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. Morphine and Latina, I thought the makeup was great. But I think they did sort of clock that the proportionizing was wrong. Because like from like his arms and chest, I was like, that's a man, Maury. Whereas I think she said she doesn't pad, but I think Latina needed some pads. And as I said, bigger hair just to sort of balance it out a bit more. And the dress was just a nice looking dress. And then we had Nymphia and Juanita. I liked it. I think this is one of my favorites. Not so much because of the look on its own, but how they presented it with like moving like actual birds down the runway, I thought was just really fun to watch and well executed. We've talked about Safira's and Shakira's. It wasn't great. And then Plain and Lazy Susan, they did look like twins. I thought it was a bit of a boring look on its own, but for the challenge, it was good. And did you think that Lazy Susan looked like Gothy Ken Doll? Because I've seen everyone online saying that, and I do think that.
I could see where they get that. The problem is that, yes, I see it. I see what they're talking about. If we're being really accurate, though, Gothy Ken Doll's a lot slimmer You know, this is a gothy Ken doll after working Butch. Out. Yeah, a Butch working out gothy Ken doll. But I see it in the makeup and the beat and everything like that. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Plain Jane, you know, there's been a lot of rancor about this episode and who won and who lost and who was in the bottom and who went home. And one of the people, a lot of people, just a not small number of people who feel that Plain Jane shouldn't have won, and they feel that she's worn a corset almost too many times. In fact, someone pointed out that she's actually worn this type of outfit, the bodysuit, more times than Nymphia has actually worn yellow.
Okay.
But she never gets called on it because she's sort of a favorite of production.
I see that. What do you think of this yellow critique? Because I've said it before, like, oh, she wears yellow a lot. And I don't mind with the yellow so much. It's the bananas that really fucking kills me. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't banana related. So I was fine with it.
I think I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Nymphia seems to be doing this thing. And I don't really understand it, but I read somewhere that it might even be political why she's doing. There might be some sort of political message for why she's wearing the yellow, something that's significant in Taiwan.
Yellow seems to be.
Yeah, I don't understand the political significance of yellow in Taiwan. I just don't. And that's why production doesn't want to get too much into it.
They don't want to read for it too much.
I did see that, you know, because T.S. Madison says, well, you know, every time I've been here, you've worn yellow. And of course, the fucking Reddit sleuths are like,
oh, they corrected her.
They corrected her because I guess might have been the last time she was on, Nymphia wore red. She didn't wear yellow at all.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, T.S. Madison doesn't like to be corrected. So she came for them as a whole thing.
Well, but what really killed me was when Michelle was like, I don't mind her wearing yellow. That's about branding. And when she leaves here, she can get all the yellow deals she wants. What are yellow deals? Like, is yellow like a corporation that can hire Nymphia for Pride Week? Like, what's a fucking yellow deal?
I don't know, but I remember the point I was trying to mention, maybe this sort of touches on that, is Nymphia seems to be doing this thing where that's her brand and she doesn't give a fuck. She's going to do yellow. That's her. Yellow and bananas are her brand and she's just going to do it. She doesn't care.
I think she just likes yellow. She just really fucking likes yellow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought her look was good. I thought her dancing was probably my favorite.
Oh, really?
I loved the bird shtick. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good, and I didn't like Q's thriller thing. I thought that was such a cop-out.
I don't like you. And she should have been home. But if Morphine wins the $50,000, I'll be okay with it. All right. On the main stage, Rude names Plain Jane the winner of the challenge before placing Saphira and Morphine in the bottom two, forcing them to face off in a lip-sync battle for their lives. The song, Miss Me More by Kelsey Ballerini. In the end, Saphira is told Shantae you stay, while Morphine Love Dion is asked to sashay away. Nathan Patrick Brown, any final thoughts on the episode?
Not really. I think, yeah, Plain one. I see that, but I would have probably put Nymphia as the winner. Who would you have made win that challenge?
I'm fine with Plain winning, but I also would have been fine with Nymphia winning. I think they could have gone either way. And maybe because Plain already had so many wins, you could have given it to Nymphia.
Yeah, and you think Q and Saphira in the bottom?
I could see Morphine being in the bottom. That's a tricky one. I mean, Q is bad. It's a toss up for me. I think if I had my druthers, I probably would have put Morphine and Q in the bottom, sent Q home. Okay, but they didn't. They put Morphine and Saphira. But if you're being fair, Morphine won that lip sync, and you didn't do a good job hiding it in the edit.
I think they also probably didn't want Saphira in the bottom, but there was no way around it at that point.
Well, yeah, they were stuck because they couldn't justify Q staying if Morphine sent her home.
Yeah.
They couldn't justify it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16. So, for Nathan Patrick Brown and myself,
it is what it is, and Diana Ross was in the whiz.
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This podcast was produced by Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has another podcast. It's called Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nathan Brown on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters. Alex S. Anonymous. April Pacheco. Astute Girl. Brad Coley. Filsket Pony. Deckhead. Doofus Maximus. E. Smith. Elizabeth Tinner. Emma. Humble Pie. Isaac Martin. Jade Thomas Plank. Jesse Harris. Kathy Zender. Lauren Eckert. Lucy Carrasco. Luke Stamen. Mike Yeager. Nikki Baker. Poppy Woods. Ricardo the Hoodeda. Robert NYC. Sarah Yu. Runner Brandon. Tom Bombs. Travi Cosmos. Troy Anderson. And Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.